We're going to do this a little different than we usually do, just because I thought after like 8 years we ought to change it a little bit. I just wanted to start off and just say I love my church. I am so grateful that God has brought me to this part of my life where I can be free to serve Him and to watch what He does. And the reason that I love the church so much here at Eastwood is because it is the real family of God. I've been in churches where I felt that and churches where I didn't feel that, but I've never felt it like I feel it here. And I've been a part of organizations that are very tight. I've been involved in football teams. I've been involved on coaching staffs, which are very, very intense. But being part of a family where when I look out at you, I see more than just the people. I see what God has done in your life and how God has revealed Himself to me through what I've seen Him do in you. And I've seen Him do some incredible things in the hearts of people sitting in this room. And it is amazing. But I think it's what church is supposed to be about. I think when we look at each other, we're supposed to see more than just people. We're supposed to see the Spirit of God transforming people miraculously into the image of Christ, giving them the ability to love in situations that are very difficult to love in, giving them the ability to follow God through some really difficult and sometimes humiliating circumstances, being able to stay faithful when it's difficult because God has given them the power to love and put Him above themselves. And I see that. I see that in you. And I think it's been a wonderful experience to watch us grow together and to let God show Himself so strong inside of us. Because it's different from being a part of an organization or even a really good one. And so I'm thankful for that. And I wanted to give our staff an opportunity just to express some of the things that they have seen God do in the particular areas that they're working in. And so I'm going to start off right here with probably our biggest outreach, and that is our kitchen ministry that we have on Wednesday nights. And you know what's interesting about it is sometimes on Wednesday nights we have as many people on Wednesday night as we do on Sunday morning. You know, not always. If we get a good crowd in here and everybody's not on vacation and stuff like that, we'll have more in here. But it's not like the typical church where attendance drops way down on Wednesday and way down at small groups. We have people who are connected and involved, and Lisa, I know you've grown with that ministry and you're a vital part of it. So I just want you to share with us a little bit about that
without crying.
Yeah.
So when I think of Wednesday night, I think about food because that is the draw initially. And when you look in the Bible, that's Jesus used food to draw. And so that is a common ground for all of us. So when I've invited people to come on Wednesday night, there's a freedom there that I feel that maybe not on Sunday morning that I have. So when I see you bring people on Wednesday night, you're saying, come share a meal with me. Come talk with me. And we can't really do that on Sunday morning like we can on Wednesday night. And I see you guys connecting with people you know. I see you connecting with people you don't know. Those connections go beyond Wednesday night. But that's a vehicle that I feel like God has used in this church. And I've watched this ministry grow from like 60 people. I mean, we're just barely pulling anybody in. And we're serving like a 140 to 150 just about every Wednesday. And so I just think it's great to see people loving on people and asking people, really, how are you? And you can do that and not feel reticent about sharing when you're eating food together. That's just, we all have to eat. We all need nourishment of the stomach, but we need nourishment of the soul. And in a world where we connect on computers, we feel like we're connecting. There's so much isolation in that. And so this is a way for us to be face-to-face, heart-to-heart, where we can be real with people and who we really are and what we really look like and what we really are struggling with. And so I'm thankful for that opportunity to share with you something God has given me. And I love to love on people with food, and anybody that knows me knows that. And so I'm thankful that God has allowed me to do that. And thank you for coming.
Well, that's good, and you didn't make it without crying, but but that's the passion that I wanted you to see, because Lisa's not a cook for us. She's like the mother hosting the family get together, and us interacting. You know, we're not a church that does a bunch of things to try to draw people in. You've heard me say this before. You are the draw. We want people to come and to see Christ so that they come and want to be a part, like Wadeen expressed. That is the draw, is that they see the love of Christ in us. And part of that ministry, and as it's grown, probably at first you're scrambling around, and as you've grown, you've come more and more to realize that the words you speak as people go through the line are more important than the plate you give them. And and it's the same with you. And I wanted just to have that opportunity for you to realize Wednesday night is our greatest outreach. And it's meant to be. And we are not going to let anything take a preeminence over that. Because that is the time that you can bring people in who will not come to life group. Because come to a life group where people are going to share openly about their problems and they're going to study the Bible. I don't know anything about it. Our life groups are great, but the entry point in our body is Wednesday night. Because rather than sit here, and this is the second entry point, but rather than sit here, they have the ability to sit down and you come by and talk to them. And you come by and show them love. That's why our greeting is so important here too. Because it's a chance for them to get a little peek into our hearts. And it's a great ministry, and we encourage you to use it and bring people here, because it has a powerful effect. Many of you are sitting in here because someone brought you Wednesday night and you felt comfortable, and so you ventured into something else. Next one that we've got right here is our worship ministry, and I don't know who is going to speak first, Alan or Cindy, but I'll let you start.
Thanks. Well, Alan and I are a team. We work together, so we'll hand it off back and forth. I love what Wadeen said, and it reminded me that suffering is a brand of being a believer. And some of the people on the worship team I have played music with for 20 years. And what I've seen in our worship ministry is we support each other through email, text, phone call, in the green room time. You have seen these servants support each other through birth and death and marriage and tragedy, sickness, and in health. And this team comes together, and they serve faithfully every week. And when I see the growth, it's not just a bunch of men and women playing music together. They have united to come together to serve Christ and to point to Christ and to not point to themselves.
Yeah, and that is so true. There's so many people that are involved. I was thinking about Lisa as she was talking. You see her on Wednesday night, and you see her serving, and then she comes up and leads worship and sings. Suddenly, you know her. You've experienced her, and that's really the kind of community that we're trying to build. That you know who's up here. You know me. You know Cindy. You know Lisa. You can trust that what we're saying is true, because you've seen it demonstrated throughout. It's not just a worship band, but we are a family. And as we try to include some of the younger players, we find that even in bringing them up and who we bring up, it's about people that are connected to you already, that you're we're leading you in worship, but ultimately the goal of worship is not just us or just you. It's that God be glorified in what happens here.
And I think one of our primary goals is that we are not about trying to perform. We are about worshiping God. And the practice of that, 80% of what we do is not here on Sunday morning. It's how we live our life. It's praying. It's being in the Word. It is calling a friend. It is all of those things that we do in small group off of this platform. And it seems like worship is the 20 minutes that we do on Sunday morning, but it's really not. It's really that daily living of our lives in connection with the body of believers. And some of us serve in other places and capacities, and that's so crucial to us being connected to you as the body, and so that we can point to Christ and not point to ourselves.
I think that's one thing that we really have seen growth in the past year is I think that we're learning to be better listeners. We are looking for how we connect with our sound man or our PowerPoint people because they're serving and they're not a support role. They are, they are worship leaders in what they're doing. And we're coming to understand that our responsibility is not to direct them as much as to listen to them, to know them, and connect with them. Ultimately, people are the most important. Well, serving God and worshiping God is the most important, but we do that by serving and loving others.
And the last thing I'm going to say, which we struggled with, should I even say this? But I have to say it. Our worship team is a culture of feedback. The way that I have grown as a believer in Christ and as a musician is to take feedback, to take it from Alan, to take it from you, to take it from Bill, my friend. When she says to me, hey, have you considered this? I consider it. And for someone to come to me and say something that they see in me spiritually or musically, it's feedback, and I can grow. And that is, our team has grown leaps and bounds in accepting feedback and giving feedback in a loving way. And we can all use that as believers in Christ. Sorry, boy.
The goal is unity. We want to together, we all come in different places in our lives, and we've had a different week. Ultimately, we walk in and we want to present an offering, and we're trying to create an environment that you can walk in and feel comfortable presenting your offering to God. But the goal is unity. How do we do that together? And 2019 was a really great year, but I'm looking forward to 2020 on where God takes us next.
Well, that's good. We started meeting, Alan and I probably started meeting 8 years ago, and probably started meeting with Cindy seven years ago. So we've met together a lot. I meet usually about 3 hours a week with them in some place, unless Cindy is working, and then sometimes it's every other week with her. But about 4 years ago, Makumbu, who's been coming to this church since I've been here over 20 years, he came to me after we had the service, and he came up here, and we were sitting down, and we were eating lunch, and he said, "What happened to your worship?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "What happened to your worship? It's just filled with the Spirit. What happened?" And what happened is the spiritual growth in the people who are up here leading it. And, he talked about it's not about performing. Let me tell you something. For a musician, that's hard. Because their talent, their gift, their love is that music. And when they get up here, they want to sound their best. But worship is not about them sounding their best. Worship is about you lifting your eyes above them and not seeing them and worshiping God. So they've had to learn how to take everything that they love and put it on the altar. They may sound a lot better singing in this key because of their voice. But they're going to have to put that on the altar because they're not singing to God and you listen. They are leading you in worship, so we're going to put it in the key that you can sing in. And as they have started to realize that every little thing that they do on this stage can either be a distraction from God or it can be something that exalts God and they step back from. And the most important thing is the heart that they come in with. If they don't come in with a heart that's focused on God and worshiping God, how can they lead you to do that? And it's just been amazing to watch not just the development of our worship team, but to watch the difference in how you worship out there and the engagement that you have. And so I'm really grateful for the things that they've done. And there have been a lot of things behind the scene. And I will tell you this, we don't have more submissive people in this congregation than Alan and Cindy, because they got to really lay down what they love most to do what God calls them to do. And they've led the worship team to do that same thing. So I'm grateful to see what God has done in all of us in our ability to really worship. I'm going to let Aaron share with us next the things that you've seen God do.
I'm Aaron. My role is a little different. I'm in the front office, and I'm also the bookkeeper. And I have the opportunity to see into a lot of different ministries, a lot of different aspects of things that happen at the church. And when Bill asked me to share what I've seen God do in the body this year, so many things came to mind because I get a front row seat and I see what God is doing. So I kind of struggled with what part to share. And as I was praying and I was thinking about it, I started seeing faces. And I started seeing faces of my family, my Eastwood family. And you know, generosity is what came to mind. You are a generous people. And you know, we are a working class church. And God gives us each resources. Resources in time, resources in talent, financial resources. And there are so many demands on those resources. But as we grow, and as the Spirit shows us that eternity is really where our treasure is, and we have a God that's going to meet our needs here, and all of this stuff is going to pass away, even the days of our life, we become generous people. I have just a couple illustrations because I love stories. The first two have to do with money, limited finance resources. And I feel like I can share these and keep them anonymous because I could share the same story about so many different situations and they would really all sound the same. I had an individual come into the office and the bank envelope had like a wad of cash in it, and it was folded and it was kind of worn from being in a pocket. And this person came in and said, "I would like to give this as a scholarship." And I knew that person, and I knew where they were in life, and I knew that was a tremendous amount of money for them. And I said, "Absolutely, I will absolutely make sure they get credit for this." Another instance is we had a need come up that was, it was a big need. We didn't really know how that was going to be met. And an individual found out about this need, and they contacted me and said, "I have some of God's money that I think he wants me to give in this area." And that person is a generous person. So this was above and beyond his regular giving. But it's not just finances, it's time. You know, as we looked at that video, this church operates on volunteers, and I get to interact with a lot of them, and it's a passion. They see that this is their Father's house, and they have a part in it. We have business owners who use the resources of their companies to take care of the body. And we have people who spend hours and hours and hours just keeping this place going, that share their talents and whatever God has given them. I'm going to leave you with this. Earlier this week, I was reading in Nehemiah. And I love Nehemiah because it's this heroic story of Israel coming out of exile. And they were to build the tabernacle back in Jerusalem. But they had some enemies who were out to get them. And they started building the wall. And it talks about how they built the wall with a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other. We have volunteers who don't just get things done. They don't just build the wall. But they understand that we're in a battle. We have a volunteer who helps me with meeting the HVAC guys out, and he knows their name. And he looks for an opportunity for a spiritual discussion. He is building the wall. He has a sword in his hand. We have a lady who helps our cleaner. She does the laundry for me, so I don't have to wash all those linens every week. And as she does laundry, if you're here in the evenings and she sees you, she's going to check on you. She has that hammer. She's doing that laundry. But she doesn't lose sight of that sword and that we're really in a battle. So, just a generous people.
Thank you, Erin. And we do. I think that one of the things that we have grown in is to be able to see why we're really here. And we're here to glorify God. We're here to point people to Him and His love. And I think we see that more and more done better and better. Laura, I'm going to let you share with us what you see happening in the children's ministry.
Yeah, we've seen some amazing things this year. Psalm 145, 4 says, "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." You know, it's our responsibility as parents and as fellow co-workers and heirs in Christ to train and teach this next generation to love God and to serve Him. And so I just appreciate so much the people who invest in our children here and a commitment to God's word. We take our kids to camp every year, Woodlands Camp. It's memorizing swords. It's equipping them with the word of God, which is powerful and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so it's the power of the word of God that transforms children's lives. And so Terry Harper had this wonderful idea of using these same booklets that we use at camp to help kids to memorize scripture all year long. So we would give them Woodlands Bucks, you know, that incentive to get into the Word of God. So I really see a commitment exponentially growing in memorizing God's Word. And then I can see it in children's lives. Whenever we had our Christmas program, if you were here, it was straight from Luke 2. Every bit of that was the Word of God and from Matthew. And I'll see the children just quoting it. Kaylee was one of the Christmas stories was about the angel. And almost like a little video, and it was showing, "Fear not, for behold," and I could see her mouthing it. It's just like she knew it because that had been such a part of her. And so I'm so thankful that we have teachers here. I look back at April Weed, and I look at Margaret Frazier and Terry, those who have, I've been doing this children's ministry for 19 years here. So I'm seeing a second generation coming through. And these women have been here as long as I have, and they're pouring into your children week after week after week. Greg Snyder taught, you know, it's good to have such a positive role male, a godly man pouring into kids. And for years, Greg Snyder felt God calling him to teach during our Sunday school hour. And so, but there's a season to everything. And so after he lost Joyce, and then, you know, God blessed him with another woman to love. And so he had to move away. And I thought, Lord, what are we going to do? You know, you're going to provide. And God was so faithful to bring Arthur to come and to fill that. And as I listened to him, him today, just the exuberance of teaching. He has that gift, but that positive male role model for our children. So your children are being poured into every week, and it's equipping them, and it's equipping you as parents to help, to love. And then I see in these children a boldness to go out and to bring their friends in. I look at Madeline, and Madeline brought Angel. Madeline, and then Riley, Greg gave them opportunities to teach. And so they're equipping these children to learn to serve. And then I see that go on into the youth ministry, because we had the freestyle. It was here this summer, which was our day camp, our first ever day camp, and we had 60 kids. And our lead team, which is what they needed, they were middle schoolers and high schoolers, and they were incredible. Our people, our young girls and boys that led and helped, and that comes out of being a member of this body and serving. It's not about them. It's teaching the children to be, instead of selfish, to be selfless. It's not about them. It's about others, and it's about serving. And we see that in our children here, and I'm so thankful. And 8 of those 18 baptisms that you saw were children in this ministry. So I'm so grateful and so thankful to God and what he's doing here. And I'm thankful for those who teach week after week. So I want to honor them today.
Well, all of that is so important. And I think that's one of the areas that we have grown in, is our love for God's word and our understanding that God really is the authority, and that he knows so much more than we do. And God expects us to obey his word. He expects us to obey his word. And when we look at our lives and our expectation is for God to help us to obey his word, it opens up all kinds of things. And it opens up an awareness that God has a purpose for my life. And we see our kids and our youth and our young adults who understand that God has a job for them. He's got a purpose for them. And they are engaging, trying to obey God in representing him and sharing their faith. And that's a wonderful thing. And Jonathan, I'll let you share with us about the youth.
Absolutely. Picking up where Laura left off with leaders, we couldn't do what we do without the leaders that volunteer, that serve. Thinking through what God's done in the youth in the past year is mind-blowing. It's really cool watching that video come together and then sitting back. You rush through a lot of things and you forget that God was working. You just feel tired at the end. It's kind of like the holidays here. But God was working in a mighty way, and he's continued to. A few things we implemented this year. If Lisa was a mother of Wednesday night dinners, we were definitely the children of Wednesday night dinners. We'd come and eat and leave. But we're trying to work through that. We got a program now where we're serving, because we see the value of what's going on Wednesday nights. That's where life change happens, is when you're sitting face-to-face, talking over, especially poppy seed chicken. That's where life changes, and we see that, and we want to be part of that. We want to usher that and make that be able to happen. We've started Service Saturdays about a year and a half ago, so this was our first full year of Service Saturdays, and see kids wake up on cold, rainy mornings, Saturday mornings, and be here excited to serve, because they just love raking leaves, and they just love mowing grass and doing roofs. They don't love that. But they love being together. This is their family. And what we've seen, a byproduct of that, is where we go and we help some people in here, some widows and so forth, with projects they have, it grows us closer as a family. We're not just us and them anymore. So when we have that meet and greet time, or we come in on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights, we see them. And we know them. We know them in a special way. Working does that. God has raised up some of our students. We've had a young group, but there's some that are stepping up in the ministry now. As far as worship team, had one teach the service on Wednesday night. Like, how awesome is it to see students saying, man, God's laid something on my heart, and I want to share that. That's God doing that. And he's doing it through the relationships and through the leaders and through his people, like he does. It's been an amazing year. We also added another So like all these leaders, every time we put a calendar, we put like every second Saturday, every fourth Friday, every Wednesday, every Sunday, and it just seems like your week's gone. But these guys just step up and they rise up and meet those expectations. But we added a fourth Friday event just so we could have a time for these students, because of the 40, 50 students we account for, there is not one group of them at any one school. They are so spread out, and they just love being together so much. So we've added a fun event, is what we call it, but they're coming and they're just fellowshipping with each other. So when we get here on teaching nights, we can go straight into God's word and feel like we're still connected. But God has been faithful, and I'm so excited about our coming winter retreat, that just to see how God's going to move us. We've been through this mission, or this stage of serving, of mission. I think he's going to be moving us into discipleship. And right now, each one of our student leaders, each one of our assistants, volunteers, and the youth is meeting one-on-one with one of our students. Like, that's powerful. That's good. That's God. Many other things, but I'm forgetting. So
Good. That's good. I want to make just one point before I let Sean speak, and then I'm going to close this in prayer. But, you know, everyone up here on this stage knows and realizes that we are not the ministers. Our job is to equip the church to do the work of the ministry. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not part of the church and we don't have our own personal ministry, but I'm very careful to try not to do yours. And we are very careful to try to not do the work you're supposed to do. We're here to help equip, to model, but we're here because we want those kids meeting with kids. We want the adults meeting with adults. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand in here because I don't want to embarrass the few that are not. But almost everybody in this room is discipling somebody. Think about that. How many churches have you been in where almost everyone in the room is discipling someone? That's a lot of growth. That's a lot of potential. And it doesn't happen by accident. It happens because we caught the vision of what God wants us to do, and we're trying to do it. And as we do, God is bearing fruit. So I'm gonna let Sean kind of give us his view of what he's seen God doing, and then we'll close celebrating this year.
Well, Bill, thanks. You just said what I was going to say.
Oh,
so
sorry.
Let's pray. No, just kidding. I actually am going to make you raise your hands. How many of you all are in a small group of some kind? Right by hands. So, you know, you can lower your hands. I see my ministry touching basically every area of this church in different ways, from counseling to discipleship to technology, communication, rare preaching opportunities, financial stuff, all the way across the whole gamut. I have the opportunity to really work in basically every area, but one of the primary places that I feel like God has put me is kind of the overseer of small groups. And there's a lot that's involved in that. There's really just kind of having a list, knowing who meets where and when and with who. You know, I can tell you when the group meets on Tuesday morning and where they meet and who the leader is and different things like that, so that we have coordination of that. Coupled with that is kind of working slowly, plodding along diligently, trying to equip the leaders to have just a clearer vision for what really the purpose is of meeting together. Why do we do that? I mean, almost everybody in here raised their hand. You're meeting with people to study the word, to pray, to encourage one another, to do life together. Almost everybody in here is doing that at some level. Well, why? Well, we are constantly trying to invoke that vision into the leaders, and I see that as one of my primary jobs. We instituted kind of a new monthly meeting where we just get together for basically 30 to 45 minutes on Wednesday nights just to talk about those kinds of vision things, because we want our small group leaders to have a better grasp of what God really wants to do, you know, in and through them and in and through their groups. And coupled with what Bill said, I believe our small groups are our strongest element. I believe it's why we have so much unity. I believe it's why every Sunday when people give their thoughts of gratitude, that we have so much of that feeling of unity and love in our church, is because we are intimately connected in so many ways at the life level. And I just think that that is incredibly powerful. And one of the things that, as Bill said, we really try to do at the staff level, because, I mean, this is the paid staff. We can't do the whole ministry. It's not humanly possible. There's not enough time. There's not enough energy. There's not enough of us. And we're not called to do it. You all sitting there are the ministers. You are the ministers of reconciliation. It's what God's purpose is for you. And we see that. And so we want to empower that to occur. And where does that occur primarily? I think at the small group level. We look at the small group members and leaders as ministers to themselves. So like if there's a death in a family, one of the first things I try to remember to do is to contact the small group leader and let them know, so they can rally the troops, so to speak, and the group can minister to itself. Sure, Bill and I and Jonathan and our staff comes along and supports that, but we don't want to be the first line of defense in that, and we don't think that's the way God designed it. And so one of the things that I have seen God do, I think, is really strengthen our small group leaders, but then strengthen our small group core in the way they minister and really just do life together. And I'm hoping, if you raised your hand, you've experienced that. That you've experienced God working in your life through your small group, through your small group leader, and really just that bond of unity in the body of Christ. And the last thing I'm going to say is, where I have seen that probably the most is in my own small group on Wednesday night. You know, we have small groups that meet on Wednesday nights. Y'all may call them Bible studies. They're just small groups of people coming together to live life together. We have small groups that meet on Sunday mornings. You guys may call them Sunday school, but they're small groups. We have life groups that meet all throughout the week. We've got groups that meet at 6:30 a.m. on Tuesdays, 9 a.m. on Saturdays, 7 o'clock on Thursdays, Sunday evening, Sunday afternoons, you name it. We've got groups that meet anywhere. And I believe if you're meeting one-on-one with somebody, that's just a small group. We've got them everywhere. And where I've seen that the most is in my Wednesday night small group of men. We used to meet for a few years where it was like 2 to 5 people. We now have regularly 12 to 18 guys that come. We've seen four of those people that got baptized came out of that small group. I mean, that's awesome. We have on average 12 to 15 men, and 4 guys got saved and gave their heart to Christ and got baptized. The men in that group, they are ministers. They are ministers of the gospel to the people in that group. We have a text group where we are in constant contact virtually every single day. And it isn't joking around and cutting up. There's some of that, but it is prayer requests, it is scripture, it is encouragement, it is pointing people back to the word of God and his truth. And that, to me, is powerful. That group has grown from 3 or 4 men to 16 to 18 on a regular basis. Why? I think it's because the power of God's word working in the hearts of the men, and they see themselves as ministers. And so I think that that is permeating our entire body. I think it's incredible, and I just give praise to God for it. So thank you.
Well, I'm gonna lead us in prayer, and the final thing that I'm gonna say is part of the wonder of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God created each one of us as a masterpiece. And without him and disconnected from him, wandering through life, seeking our own way, we would never imagine what God created us for. But because Jesus Christ died to pay for our sins so that we, even though we're guilty of rejecting and ignoring the God that created us, could be completely forgiven and to walk towards him with no condemnation and no fear, and to embrace him and allow him to lead us to become what he created us to be, which is incredibly valuable, eternally valuable. and the things that happened in this church, it would be a sin for us to have a few people appointed to do the work. Because God's plan is that when you enter into the kingdom of heaven, he looks at you and says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And you know in your heart, maybe for the first time because your eyes are open to all that God has done in your life, you know why God created you. You know how important your life is to the plan of the tapestry of what God intended in his creation. That you understand that because of his grace and because of his incredible plan, your life had great meaning. That's what God wants for every one of us. Every single one of us. And it is what we should be pursuing. We have been given an enormous gift of life, so much more valuable than we ever can imagine until we get sick or we're about to lose it. That is a great gift that we don't want to waste. We want to honor God and experience everything that he intended for us in that gift. And that's our inheritance in Christ. It's our inheritance in Christ. So let's pray. Father, we could never express to you how awed and grateful we are that even though we cannot see the potential in ourselves, that you see it and you've put it there. And if we trust in you and we walk with you and we follow you, you will reveal even to us your great power and your great plan and your great purpose for our lives. We are so grateful, Lord, that you created us and that you gave us life. We're even more grateful that you brought us salvation that we didn't deserve by not respecting that life, not valuing and seeing it. And we are so grateful that through Jesus Christ, we are not just forgiven, which would be enough, but we are truly given life in all its fullness. And I pray, Father, that as we grow through this year, that we will experience and know and understand what that means in a greater way than ever before. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.